Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The city of Sardis, where this ancient church was located, mentioned in today's reading from Revelation, has a very unique history. It was once rebuilt by Alexander the Great. But prior to Alexander, King Cyrus of Persia, the biblically well-known ruler who had permitted the Jews to rebuild Jerusalem, also governed Sardis as well. Sardis had prided itself as being an impenetrable citadel, incapable of being captured. However, we know it was captured several times. It fell due to its own self-confidence. Sardis considered itself to be a significant city, one city that manufactured some of the best woolen goods and various clothing. But the church in Sardis had a twofold problem. It fell asleep spiritually. It was in a spiritual coma. And secondly, it was arrogantly blind to themselves. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. While the pastor and the congregation retained a good name, which some other churches and other people admired, the Lord knew their actual state, their mind, their motives, their tensions, the proclivities of their heart. The church was not just dying, it was almost completely dead. Sardis was unable to raise itself because it had failed to recall and follow the faithful example of the apostles and others who led them. They failed to hear the word of God, and they failed to obey it. Their witness to the world did not shine like a light on a hill. And as those immersed in the clothing industry, they easily identified then with what John contrasts here. Those dressed in white versus those with soiled garments. Now they were the ones with sin-soiled garments. The once strong church, which had once received the word of God with joy and eagerness, was now nothing. Jesus similarly issues a call of repentance to us as well, as we get closer and closer to the end of the church year. That word is this: throw off all sluggishness, apathy, numbness, idolatry. Rub all the spiritual sleep out of your eyes, for it is time to wake up. And the image of filthy, soiled garments was not lost on Sardis, nor is that image lost for us today. Although you and I have compromised with the world, at times accommodated with it, or failed to listen to God's word, repent. Our soiled garments of hypocritical faith and pride do not wash before God. And we have examples of this. Do you remember Adam and Eve in the garden? After they had sinned, they tried to sew fig leaves together to cover their shame and guilt. Or Jesus' parable of the wedding feast further makes evident that none of us can enter the wedding hall in our own clothes. Instead, we must daily strip off, put off the old clothing of the flesh, and daily, as St. Paul says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves anew. The hymn for today, "Wake, awake, for night is flying," is the message for us today. And since we are born and live still with these sin-soiled garments, we must constantly be self-aware and strip them. Resist the spiritual sluggishness of your flesh and proudful drowsiness of being within this world. Wake up and strengthen what remains. Confess boldly to this world who Jesus is to those all around you and throughout the world. Announce that Jesus Christ, who lived, who suffered, who died, and shed his blood for the world and rose again, is the only way to heaven, the Heavenly Father, and eternal life. Count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Baptized into Christ, you have conquered. You have overcome. You are dressed in white. The root of that Greek word in our text, to conquer or to overcome, as some of you seminarians may know, is the verb nikao. The Greeks even called one of their goddesses Nike, the goddess of power, the goddess of victory. What does Nike sound like to us today? How about Nike? How about Nike, that powerful sporting goods company who places a what on everything? They place a swoosh on all of their hats, on all of their shoes, on all of their sporting goods. Why do people want to wear Nike? Because it represents a winning brand and confident quality. Well, similarly, in baptism, you too are victorious and confident, alert and powerful because of Jesus Christ as well. Washed again in the waters of holy baptism by Christ's blood shed at Calvary, buried with him and raised again by his power, you are fully forgiven and swooshed as well. Only we are powerful in faith and confident in service to Christ. In the face of this world, the devil, and our weary flesh. Roger, this is a special day for you. You know you will soon be ordained as a congregation's pastor. Remember, too, that you are vested and clothed with such confidence and faith as well, so that you can proclaim Jesus Christ in all of his fullness to God's people. Dear friends, let us not be like Sardis, sitting and dwelling in soiled, deathly garments. Each day, a clean, new, bright wardrobe awaits you, without stain or wrinkle. Clothed in Christ, you are alive. You are confident because of his perfect innocence and his complete holiness. That is imputed to you by virtue of Christ's bloody death and atonement. Through that great exchange, wear a winning name and wear a powerful identity. Who are these in white robes, as the elder in Revelation says? These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning we are privileged to carry out a very important tradition, a very important task for our church body. The assignment of calls today, one call. That's all you really, trust me, ones, that's good. A call to the office of the Holy Ministry. Providing pastors and deaconesses for our church is what we do here. First and foremost in every aspect, every consideration of your seminary, and indeed it must be so. Before we proceed, I'd like to give some thanks for all those who are involved and make this process go forward with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Congregations, district presidents, our synod, working with placement directors, all work together, trusting in the end that our Lord is still the Lord of his church. For me, and this should also be from each one of you, special thanks go out to Dr. John Reynolds, our vicarage director, for his help, and of course to our great staff, Nancy Raber and Marcia Zimmerman. Extremely valuable. At this time, would the candidate please present himself? Roger L. Sossaman, Peace Lutheran Church, Owensburg, Kentucky, the Indiana District.
Brother Sossaman, receive now the charge. Go then, take heed unto thyself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made thee an overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Feed the flock of Christ, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being lord over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, thou shalt receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The Lord bless thee from on high, and make thee a blessing to many, that thou mayest bring forth fruit, and that thy fruit may remain unto eternal life. Amen.